Chapter 13. The Rings. The next day, Tom received a telegram from Mr. Greenleaf.
Have decided to come to Venice. Would like to see you. Arriving 11:45 a.m.
Tom's body went cold. Well, he had expected it, but he had not really. He hated the thought of it. He and Marge went to meet Mr. Greenleaf at the train station. It was raining again and windy. Mr. Greenleaf came through the gate looking pale and tired. Marge kissed him on the cheek, and he smiled at her.
Hello, Tom,
he said in a friendly voice and shook his hand.
How are you?
Very well, sir. And you?
They took Mr. Greenleaf to his hotel and then found a restaurant to eat a seafood lunch.
So, is there any news?
Marge asked as they sat down. Mr. Greenleaf shook his head and looked nervously out the window. He told them that the police had not found out anything new, and he had arranged for an American private detective to fly over. He did not think much of the Italian police. Tom listened thoughtfully. He too had a suspicion that American detectives were better than Italian ones.
That's a good idea, he said. Although I think the Italian police are good. Does your detective speak Italian?
I really don't know, replied Mr. Greenleaf, in a way that said he knew that he should have thought about that. His name is McCarran. He's said to be very good. He's arriving tomorrow or the next day. I'm going back in the morning to meet him.
Tom has the most beautiful house, Marge said suddenly.
Tom turned toward her and tried to change his angry stare into a smile. The questions he knew would come at the house when he and Mr. Greenleaf were alone. But when they got back to the house, Marge sat with them for another half an hour in Tom's sitting room. She kept saying how sure she was that Dickie was still alive. Then, finally, she got up and told them she was going upstairs to sleep. After she left, Mr. Greenleaf stood up and began to walk up and down with his hands in his pockets.
Well, Tom, he said in a strange voice, this is a strange end, isn't it?
End?
Well, you living in Europe now and Richard, well, where do you think he might be?
Well, sir, he could be hiding somewhere in Italy, staying in small hotels and using a false name. Though, I'm sorry to say it, Mr. Greenleaf, but I think it's very likely that Richard is dead.
Mr. Greenleaf's face did not change.
Because he was so unhappy in Rome? What did he say to you?
Tom frowned.
I think the Freddie Miles murder had shaken him. He hated the newspapers being so interested and said if one more thing happened, that he didn't know what he would do. Also, for the first time, I felt he wasn't interested in his painting.
Mr. Greenleaf looked up at the ceiling.
I wish that we could find this De Massimo. He might know something, if he was real. The police can't find any painter called De Massimo.
I never knew him, Tom said. But Dickie talked about him a couple of times. I'm sure he was real.
You said if one more thing happened to him. What else happened to him?
Well, I didn't realize it then, Tom said slowly. But I think I know what Dickie meant now. The police had questioned him about the boat in San Remo. Did they tell you about that?
Tom had practiced what he told Mr. Greenleaf next, because it was better that he heard it from Tom than the police.
They found a boat in San Remo under the water. It had blood on it. The boat disappeared on the same day Dickie and I were there, and we'd gone out in the same kind of boat. They found the boat just after the Miles murder, and they couldn't find me at the time because I was traveling around the country. So they asked Dickie where I was. I think that for a while, they suspected Dickie of killing me.
Good God!
I only know this because a policeman told me. I didn't know that I was being looked for until I read about it in a newspaper. Of course, now they know I'm still alive. But the reason I'm mentioning it is that Dickie knew the police were looking for me, but he never told me when I was in Rome. He didn't want to help them. He seemed to want to let the police find me. He wasn't going to tell them where I was.
Mr. Greenleaf shook his head in a fatherly way that said he could believe it of Dickie.
I think that was the night he said that if one more thing happened to him,
Tom finished.
I'm sorry, but I just don't believe that Richard killed himself,
said Mr. Greenleaf.
Well, neither does Marge, replied Tom slowly. I just think it's possible, that's all. Though I think it's more likely that he's hiding. He could have gone to Greece or France or anywhere after he got back to Naples, because no one was looking for him until days later.
I know,
Mr. Greenleaf said tiredly. That evening, Tom and Marge met Mr. Greenleaf for dinner. He was happier now because he had just telephoned his wife, and she was feeling better. It was a quiet dinner with just two courses, which Mr. Greenleaf paid for. Then he said he was going back to his hotel because he did not feel very well. Tom noticed that he was not eating much and wondered if he had found, like many other newly arrived tourists, that the Italian food did not agree with him. But you did not ask things like that to people like Mr. Greenleaf. Marge decided that she would travel back to Rome with Dickie's father the next morning. They all walked back to his hotel and said goodnight. Then Tom and Marge went for some drinks and coffee in a bar. It was very late when they took a gondola back to Tom's house. It was Marge who wanted it, of course. Tom had a bad taste in his mouth from the strong coffee, and his heart was beating hard. He hated gondolas. He felt tired and lay back in the boat while Marge talked happily. It seemed to take forever to reach the steps to his house. And as the gondola pulled away, he suddenly realized he did not have the big key to the front door. Before he could say something, Marge started laughing.
You didn't bring the key? Water on every side and no key.
Tom tried to smile. Why would he have brought a heavy key that was nearly a foot long? He turned and shouted to the gondolier to come back. But the man kept on going. Marge laughed again.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Another gondolier will come past soon. Isn't it beautiful here?
But it was not a beautiful night. It was cold, and there were no gondolas anywhere. Finally, a small motorboat came by and took them to the nearest landing place. When they got inside, Marge went upstairs to pack her things and go to bed, and Tom sat down to read a letter he had received that afternoon from Bob Delancey. It was the first time he had heard from Bob since he got to Italy, except for one postcard. Bob said that the police had visited the house and were questioning everyone about a tax fraud. The defrauder had used the address of Bob's house to receive his checks and had called himself George McAlpin. Bob seemed to think it was rather funny. The defrauder had not even tried to cash the checks, so it was not much of a fraud, Bob explained. Tom thought about New York and the strange life that people lived there. How boring it seemed compared to wonderful Italy.
"I am jealous of you living there in Venice," Bob wrote. "Do you take lots of gondola rides? What are the girls there like? How long are you staying anyway?"
Forever, Tom thought, closing his eyes. Maybe he would never go back to America. It was the evenings in Italy he loved the most. Either spent here or in Rome alone, wearing his clothes or Dickie's, and staring at his things in the beautiful place that he lived.
Tom?
He opened his eyes. Marge was coming down the stairs barefoot. She had his small brown box in her hand.
"I've just found Dickie's rings," she said.